Thank you very much, Grant. I would like to offer a praise from the little video that we saw, because I remember Ron Bracebridge when he was just a young fellow and never envisioned that he would be a contractor. But I believe it's the first house he ever built was for Mary's mother, here just across the driveway from us. And I found him to be very meticulous, very calm, and planned ahead. That's important even for a Christian. But he would come to Mary and say, "What kind of fixtures you want?" She said, "Well, fixtures, the frame's not even up yet." And he said, "Yes, but I need to get all that ready, because when I get it, it'll be ready to put in." And he did that all the way through. And we never had one, even a tiny, tiny complaint. It was just very, very well. And I don't know whether I should tell this, Mary, but his wife that you saw had to have a kidney transplant, and they couldn't find a donor. Now, this is almost unbelievable, but her son-in-law said, "Check me out." And they matched. And he gave her one of his kidneys. So that dispels that old song we used to hear probably 40 years ago, "Mother-in-law, the meanest woman I've ever known, mother-in-law." But she's a very lovely person, and I'm glad to see them in the Lord's work. If you'll take your Bibles now and turn to Romans 5:8. And we want to expound on this text. You know, I was full grown and never heard anyone in Adventism or an Adventist say that keeping the commandments was legalism. Unfortunately, I have been accused by some Adventists whose names are on the church books that I was a legalist because I believed in keeping God's commandments. And it made me a little upset, but once I've studied the issue and understand it fully, it can be legalism. If you're trying hard to keep the commandments to go to heaven, that's legalism. But as we search the scriptures today, I hope you will understand, as I have come to understand, that it's not that way at all. Again, let's ask the Lord's Spirit to be with us as we open His Word. Heavenly Father, we believe that You have given us Your Word. We believe it. We trust in You. And we ask that You will guide and direct our words, our thoughts, and our actions today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in Romans 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates..." Now, mine has a black star beside it, which means that that has already been fulfilled. When was it fulfilled that God demonstrated His love for us? Yes. He demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a gift that He has given to us. Have you ever gone to a store of some sort, a restaurant, and walked right out and left something? Nobody? Am I the only one that's ever done that? Mary bought me a nice little vest, a work type vest, It's reversible. It's red on one side. It's black on the other side. It didn't have sleeves because in my work, I don't need sleeves. So we went to a Chinese restaurant, had a nice meal. And about 3 or 4 days later, I started looking for my little vest. It was nowhere to be found. And we looked the house from top to bottom. And finally we said, what could have happened? And I don't know whether it was Mary or me, said, the last time I had it was at that Chinese restaurant. So we jumped in the car and went down. And if you ever try to tell a Chinese woman that doesn't speak much English that you lost your vest. And we were having a difficult time. She was very cooperative, so she reached under the counter and pulled out. No, you know, we said this, red. Well, red meant nothing to her. She pulled out another one and another one. And I got to feel a little better because I wasn't the only one that walked out and left a coat. So finally the red one came up, and we said, thank you. And by the way, how do you say thank you in Chinese? I asked her. And she said, CC. So every time we go to that restaurant, I always say CC to her. But now, Mary was kind enough to purchase that for me without me asking. And I won't ask her to do this, but what if she bought me a Lexus? Do you think for a minute that I would go off and just leave that in the parking lot? No. As a hint, baby. But anyway, the more you pay for something, the more you value it. God could not have paid more for us than he gave his only son to die for us. Do you think for a minute that he will ever forget us or ever forsake us? Now just keep in mind that when troubles come to you, we have two choices, to stay with God even though we don't understand it, or we can forsake him. It's never the other way around. And I would like to read a few comments here that I picked up in preparing this talk. The infinite, priceless gift of God in Jesus Christ makes it certain that we are accepted. Now that's the important word. That no matter what we have done, no matter how terrible we are, when we come to Christ in humility and confess our sins, he will accept us. Amen. He accepted you when you first came to him and was baptized into this church. He will accept you today when you come to him and confess your faults and your sins. He will never turn anyone away that will do that. God will not forget or leave us alone after he paid such a high price for our salvation. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you will take your Bibles now and turn to Romans 4 and verse 5. And it says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Now some understand that or misunderstand that we have no works, that works has no part of the Christian life. But what he's talking about here, what Paul is saying, is we do not work for our salvation. Yeah, that's right. We do not try to keep the law for our salvation. Right. So another statement I would like to add. It is only people who understand that they have already been accepted by God who can safely talk about obedience. Because for many, many years I came from the wrong direction. I must obey God for him to hear me. I must obey God to get his attention. But it's really the reverse of that, that God is calling us through his Holy Spirit. He is the one reaching out to us, and we need to respond in a positive manner. Amen. So it's all was reversed in my thinking years ago. If we are not sure of our acceptance, it will be dangerous for us to study the subject of obedience because it will be discouraging. Have you ever been discouraged because you have tried very hard to keep the commandments and you still fail and you still fall? I know that I have many times. But when a sinner responds to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he comes to God just as he is. We don't have to try to make ourselves better to come to God. He wants us to come exactly the way we are, no matter what our problem is. And he will accept us. We come to God just as we are, and because of Jesus, he is put right with God. It's because of what Jesus did that we're put right with God. It's not because what we did. Amen. So all these years I've had it backwards. Nothing that man can do to add to this salvation. There's nothing else that we can do except humbly come to God and confess our sins, and he will forgive us and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Obedience is not what makes us right with God. It is not what causes our salvation. Please understand that. Because if you, and I should say, and I hope I am right when I say, when you witness to your family, to your neighbors, to where you work, or whatever you do, please understand obedience. And this is it. Our obedience does not make us right with God. It is not what causes our salvation. But, I'm glad it doesn't stop there. But for us who understands this clearly, who is looking to the merits of Christ for our assurance and pardon, rather than our own works, the subject of obedience is still extremely important. So some people say, once I've been baptized, once I am a Christian, then I no longer have to keep the law. You would be surprised, because you live in a very sheltered life here in this lovely little church, and I hope it never changes, of Seventh-day Adventists even, that believe you no longer have to keep the commandments. Because of what Christ did when he died on the cross, he justified the whole world, and we're no longer under, and I'm quoting, the authority of the law. But the law is still in effect because that is the character of God. I want to read a statement from a little book called The Faith I Live By, which is by Ellen White. And it's on page 114, and it's called God's Remedy for Sin. Now, this is important because we had the dear sister back there. She wants a remedy for her physical problem. And all of us do. All of us have. When you look in the mirror, we all have some kind of physical problem, don't we? And we would want a remedy for that. So you go to a doctor, you pay a high price, and they can't find out what's wrong with you. But see, the remedy that God has, he's willing to give you free of charge, and it's always right. It says, Christ came to the world to counteract Satan's falsehood that God has made a law which men could not keep. Taking humanity upon himself, he came to this earth, and by life of obedience showed that God has not made a law that man cannot keep. He showed that it is possible for man perfectly to to obey the law. Is there any other way to obey the law other than perfectly? Have you ever heard anybody say, yeah, I keep the law, but you know, God doesn't expect me to keep it perfectly. But if we allow Jesus to live in our hearts and we're totally surrendered to Him, who is keeping the law through us? Yes. So you don't have to try hard to keep the commandments. You just need to try to be with Jesus and allow Him to live in your heart. And that's where the heart, that's where the law is, in our heart. It's not on a stone, and I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Those who accept Christ as their Savior, becoming partakers of His divine nature. When we surrender our lives to Christ, we participate in His divine nature. Amen. Sometimes I wonder how He puts up with us. When He's willing to give us His nature. And are enabled to follow His example, living in obedience to every precept of the law. Through the merits of Christ, man is to show by his obedience that he could be trusted in heaven, that he would not rebel. So that's the purpose. God cannot allow sin to enter into heaven. Sin is going to be eradicated. And we know that if we still have sin in our lives, that we will be eradicated with it. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation 14, 12. And I'm sure that you already know this, but it's good to review it. 14, 12, there are two characteristics that will be evident just before Jesus comes in this world. Two characteristics, very simple. I know that you know it, but it's good to review it because it says, here is the patience. Now, what does patience mean here in the Bible? It means steadfastness and perseverance. In other words, stick-to-itiveness. Stay with it till the end. Don't give up. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. As you may remember, a few years back, Judge Roy Moore from Alabama had a little plaque in his office that he had carved the Ten Commandments on and hung it up. And he refused to take it down. Then he became Chief Justice of the state of Alabama, and he brought a 5,000-pound block of granite with the commandments inscribed on it. And he stood up and made a big deal out of that because his fellow judges said that he'd have to remove it because we have the separation of church and state. That is under attack today, folks, under severe attack from so many sources. And they say that that's just a thing of the past, that's a fallacy, it's not in the Constitution. And he wanted to acknowledge God. And it came here. After they took it all the way to the Supreme Court said, we don't want to deal with it, take it out. So they had to remove it forcefully. And of course, he resigned. And he says, I want to acknowledge God. If you watch television at that time, there were hundreds, maybe even thousands of people coming to that courthouse and pleading to leave that block of granite there. But yet, in all of the discussion, I never heard anybody say that we should keep the commandments. Amen. We should display them. We should hang them on the walls of the state houses. And as you may remember, there are plenty of them on the lawns. And we had one member here that called. And what they wanted you to do is buy those. And he said, well, are you keeping them? He said, I don't want to discuss that. You want to buy some? That's all they wanted to do. But it was a shame that the people were so deceived about that, because I got to thinking about it and trying to compare it with something that happened in the Old Testament. And do you remember Eli's sons? Can you tell me what their names are? They're not everyday names. Yeah, Hophni and Phinehas. And they went in battle with the Philistines, but God was not with them, and they were losing. They said, now what can we do to win? And someone said, let's go get the ark. Because the ark had gone into battle before, but see, God had sanctioned that battle, and they won. But God did not sanction this battle, and they treated it, and I couldn't help but think that this block, 1,000-pound block of granite with the Ten Commandments on it is going to do anything. I compared it with what Hophni and Phinehas did in their day, that somehow there was some magic in that box, in that Ark of the Covenant, that there was some magic to it, and if it was there, they would always win. But see, it was the God that's behind that. Amen. That matters. And they failed, and as you know, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. Now, when the Ark of the Covenant was in the sanctuary in Moses' day and beyond, where was it? Was it out in the courtyard for everybody to see? No. It was not even in the holy place. It was in the most holy place, and not even the priest could go in there except once a year. But the roving eyes, the curious people, could not go in and peep in at the Ten Commandments because they're very sacred. But the people were, in Alabama, were just pleading and praying. It was so pitiful. Because never, never through all of that did I hear anybody say, keep the commandments. They said, keep the block in the courthouse. But we haven't heard the last of that. The final issue in the great controversy is not going to be over whether Jesus died or our sins, for our sins or not, or whether his blood is sufficient, because even the nominal Christians believe that. The last great issue just before Jesus comes is whether we can or cannot obey his commandments. And he will ask one question. And I know of a professor, and he gave good advice. He said, when you ask somebody why they do not obey the commandments, a minister, never do it in front of a crowd. Never do it with anybody present, because he will try to defend it. And you can't defend breaking the commandments. So he would always wait and talk with them in their office. And he says, what are you going to say, Pastor so-and-so, when Jesus asks you, because he's going to ask every one of us, did you obey my commandments? What are you going to tell him? And you know what they said, every one of them? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because when he asks those that are not keeping all of his commandments, what are you going to say? You have nothing to say. Let us turn to Romans, the first chapter, verse 16 and 17. And this will be our closing tag. And I'll tell you one other experience before we close. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who," say it folks, "believes. But for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." Now what is another word for faith, folks? Trust, thank you. Those that trust in God and those that make that their lifestyle, I started to say, we'll never have any more problems. But Satan is furious. It is going to get worse. Because if you watch the political arena, it is coming very fast. To be elected, the Democrats were not elected this last time or the time before, because the Republicans came across as very conservative, religious, God-fearing people. And they were elected. So now the Democrats says, we've got to do the same thing and try to one-up them so we can be elected. And I'm so thankful for good people. And I saw Larry King Live, and he's written on Larry King Live, former President Jimmy Carter. He's a very devout Christian. And I watched his answers, and he's written a book, and he says, we have got to stop this. He said, even back in my presidency, we never tried to mix religion with politics. And now that's all you can hear. And he said this, and I just almost stood up and shouted, I'm for the separation of church and state. And I praise the Lord for people that will stand up for that. Now let me close with this. Have you ever been discouraged? And I'm going to tell you, old age is not always graceful. You know, I long for the day I could retire and just do what I wanted to do. And when I was young, I had this phrase that I want to do things so I can tell my grandson all of the bold things I did, really all the stupid things I did. I wouldn't want to tell anybody. But Satan has a way of bringing all those things back. When you lie down to go to sleep, he brings them back, and they're in front of you all the time. I had a friend to come out. He does woodworking with me. And we sit down and talk, and he said, Jerry, I don't know how in the world God is going to save me. Now, that doesn't mean he's an open sinner, but he had a life similar to mine. He made some stupid mistakes. Just like I have. I don't do that anymore. I make mistakes, but I don't call them stupid anymore. But anyway, he was very burdened with the kind of life that he had led. How in the world is God going to save me? So I sent him this, and it's helped me. It's found Steps to Christ. Page 64, the closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes. Amen. Now, when a person, and I used to be that person that had no faults, and if somebody near and dear to me tried to point them out, they got some words that they didn't want to hear. The closer we come to Jesus, the more faulty we will appear in our own eyes, for your vision will be clearer and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to his perfect nature. That's not the end of it. The end of it is, this is evidence that Satan's delusions have lost their power. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Yes. That the vilifying influence of the Spirit of God is arousing you. Amen. And see, there again, it's God that initiates. We don't. We're still self-centered. But He initiates a call to us, and we just need to respond. Our closing song we will sing, page 570, Not I, But Christ.